Well, if you're grateful today for the altar of Jesus Christ, can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You know, it was December of 1993, if I remember correctly. I was getting home from church, and Vicki had told me that there was a phone call, and it was from a young lady that lived in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and she said something to me about y'all were looking for a minister of music, and we talked, and I remember there was a big ice storm not long after that, and we snaked our way up I-55 to come up and meet with the committee and talk to them. And Andy was just a little boy at the time. He was 3 years old, and I remember having to go from one side of the interstate to the other to get up here, and we got up here, and it was pitch dark, and we had no idea where anybody lived or what it was like or how y'all did things up here. And so we tried to drive around and see where people lived, and we couldn't see nothing. I mean, we couldn't see anything. We finally had the chance to meet with the committee and talk with them, and one thing led to another, and we accepted the call to come to First Baptist Church of Olive Branch, Mississippi. That was in March of 1994. Where has the time gone? I have no idea. I guess I want to go with that idea of, when you're having time, when you're having a good time, time flies. And I have had a great time in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We've raised our family here. We have, we've learned a lot here. And I look around this room and I see people that we've been able to link arms together and to minister together. Some of you that I look around in this room, I see families that have lost loved ones, and we have been there to minister to you through these years. And I'm just reminded that it all has to do with being a part of God's family. And I feel today that I'm just a part of the family here in Olive Branch, and I'm grateful for that. So I want to take the opportunity just to say thank you. And that I love you very much. You know, it's easy to say I love you, but it's another thing to prove it. And it is my desire in these days to be here for you and to be a support for you and to be a help to you. And I think our biggest help that we have nowadays, it comes from the Word of God. And so I want to share kind of an unusual passage of Scripture for where I'm going with this, but it's found in the book of John, chapter 20. So if you had your Bibles, it's John chapter 20. Now, in my continual quest to be cutting edge and above board, I'm going to use a brand new, highly sought-after version of the Bible that to share with you today. It's called King James Version. John chapter 20, and I'll start reading in the 11th verse just through the 16th. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for all you do for us each and every day. And I pray, Father, that as we look at this passage of Scripture now, that you will open it to us, help us to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, most importantly, that Jesus will be lifted high in this place today. I love you, I praise you, and I lift my prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you understand when I use the term my father in the ministry. My father in the ministry was named John Merck. He was a big mountain man. When I knew him at my home church, he weighed about 350. So when I say big, I'm not talking little, okay? He was about yay tall, and he said Ewan's a lot. Because I'm not kidding, he was from the mountains up in South Carolina. And he had certain things that he would say, and they have stuck with me through all these years. And so as I prepare and look at this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of something that my father in the ministry used to say. He would say, if you will please, pitch your mental tent. And what he meant was, try to grasp what's going on here. Get an idea of what's happening here. This is a tender moment that we read in John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. It's a tender moment. You see, Mary at this point in time was in mourning. Have you ever seen somebody who's been in mourning before? It's a sad time. It's a difficult time. It's a time when you probably want to help them, unless maybe it's you that has been in mourning. Have you ever been, not only seen somebody in mourning, but have you ever been that someone in mourning? Do you know what it's like to lose someone who was more than life to you? That's why I said a moment ago, when I look around this room, I see people that have lost loved ones, not only in recent days, but through the years. And I'm reminded that you can be in mourning at times, and yet I can be reminded that you take comfort, you take strength, you can be consoled at the church, at God's family. I love that old song, The Family of God. It says, if I remember correctly, the verse says, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. And here's the part I want you to get. When one has a heartache, then we all shed the tears. Then we get to rejoice in every victory of the family so dear. So Mary was in mourning, and it's a difficult time for her at this point. Vance Havner, that great man of God, he was about this big around, and he always talked through his nose like this. And he would stand there and he would read his sermon. He would type it up and put it in manuscript, and he would stand there and he would read it. He one time said this, you never miss the water till the well runs dry. And you know what? That's true. We get so accustomed to things, we forget sometimes what it's like when we don't have something, and then when we don't have it, we really realize that we miss it. What's going on with Mary? Her Lord was gone. Her Lord was gone. And so in looking at that, I'm sure that when she goes to this point, she thought back. And that's the first point on the back of your bulletin. I'm sure that she thought back. I'm sure that when Mary is going through this difficult time, I'm sure that she thinks back to those days when she was walking with Jesus, those days when she was rubbing shoulders with Jesus himself. I'm sure that she remembers all those times, not only when she was walking with him, but just a few days prior to this. I'm sure that she remembered standing with Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross, viewing that scene. Can you imagine what that must have been like? To see Jesus hanging on a cross with the blood flowing down his hands, his side, his feet, and pouring from his head. She remembered that very precious scene. I'm sure that she remembered accompanying the other women following Jesus as they made their way up to Golgotha. It was a difficult trip, but she made it. I believe that she remembered those devils way back when they were being cast out by Jesus. I believe that she remembered the joy of walking day in and day out with her master. I'm sure that at this point in time, as she missed Jesus, she longed for yesterday. Now let me stop right here and say this. Sometimes we look back and wonder what it was like and wish it was the way it used to be years ago. Or we long for yesterday. You know, it's all right to look back. It's okay to look back. I was looking back just a few minutes ago when I was talking about coming to Olive Branch. I don't have any problem looking back like that. The problem comes when we live in the past. I want to tell you something, First Baptist Church. It's time that we live in the future, in the present, and look toward the future. We can't dwell on the past, because what God has done in times past, as glorious as it is not sufficient for today. We need to move forward today in what God has in store for us. So before anyone can see Jesus, you have to look back at their life and see what they are. So what is that, Brother Bill? It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says. All have sinned. And when it says all, it includes everybody. It includes Brother Albert. It includes me.
It includes everyone that's in here. It includes everyone that's outside of this room right now. It's everybody. I think we have gotten to the point in this day and age when we don't want to call sin what it really is, and that is sin. It's okay to say, oh, well, that's just an illness and it'll be okay. Or, bless their heart, we need to let them get a slide by on this one because it's just a disease. Or it's some other something. Sin, my friends, is sin. And we need to get to the point that we remember that when we do things that are not pleasing in the sight of God, we need to call it what it really is. And I want to say this too. Folks are going to stand before God one day and they're going to say, well, I did this and I did that and I did all these things, but it doesn't matter what you do if you don't say yes to Jesus. And if you don't say yes to Jesus, you're going to die and you're going to go straight to hell. And that's the bottom line. That's what the gospel is really all about. And so we have to be reminded that we all have been sinners and we have come short of the glory of God. So what is it about sinners? Here's some, I found a track one day, and in it there's some dying words of sinners. So we think sometimes that sin's not so bad, but so I want to remind you, there's a fellow by the name of Talleyrand, and he said, I am suffering the pangs of the damned. Now, does that sound like wonderful, flowery words? No, it doesn't. It sounds to me, this is somebody that's laying on their deathbed, and they've lived their life their own way. And so Talleyrand says, I'm suffering the pangs of the damned. Altamont said, hell is a refuge if it hide me from thy frown. In other words, this fellow's lying on his deathbed, and he realizes that he's lived his life foolishly, and he's not been pleasing to God, and he realizes that he should have said yes to Jesus, but it's too late. Chartres says, I would gladly give 30,000 pounds to have it proven that there is no hell. Unfortunately, that can't be done. Mirbeau said, give me more laudanum that I may not think about eternity. This is not a pretty picture that I'm painting for you, but it's the truth. Hobbes the atheist said, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. Voltaire said, I am abandoned by God and by man. I shall go to hell. Oh Christ, oh Jesus Christ, help me. What a sad picture. Cromwell said, the devil is ready to seduce us, and I have been seduced. Caesarea Borgia said, when I lived, I provided for everything except for death, and now I must die, and I am unprovided to die. Charles IX, King of France, said, what blood, what murderers, what evil counsels have I followed? I am lost. I see it well. The problem with that is he saw it too late. He saw it too late. Sir Thomas Scott said, until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of Almighty God. Thomas Paine said, I would give worlds if I had them, if the Age of Reason had never been published. Oh Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone. Cardinal Mazarin said, oh my poor soul, what will become of thee? Whither wilt thou go? And Sir Francis Newport said, oh the insufferable pangs of hell. O eternity, forever and forever and forever. All these folk point, their testimonies point to the fact that if you wait too late, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to die and go straight to hell. Well, Mary had come to the tomb, but she had come to be near a dead Christ. So going and looking in, she was told by those angels that he is not here, he is risen. Well, it's one thing to think back, but the second thing I want to share with you is that she had to go a step further. And I appreciate so much the music that was shared this morning. People who just go to the cross, and please hear my heart today. People that just go to the cross, they don't get saved. They don't get saved. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's the truth. You have to go a step further. When I am told of what Jesus suffered when he hung on the cross and died for my sins, it moves me. It breaks my heart when I realize that he suffered that for me. I am in awe that he would go through what he did just for me. And as humbling as that is, we must remember that Jesus is no longer on the cross. I love that old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. Sing it every year at Easter time. I love it, and it's such a wonderful song, but sometimes I think we forget that one line in it. Remember what it says? It says that the old rugged cross is an emblem of suffering and shame. What are you saying, Brother Bill? What I'm saying is just the cross is not going to save you. You must see that one who once inhabited the cross. Remember that old song, Kneel at the Cross? Anybody remember that one? Anybody remember what the next line says? I know this is not a game show, so I'll go ahead and give you the answer. What the next line of Kneel at the Cross says, Christ will meet you there. Well, why in the world is Christ going to meet you there? I can tell you why. Because he isn't there anymore. He rose from the dead. He is no longer on the cross. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Just the tomb was not enough. Just the cross was not enough. Just the tomb was not enough. Mary needed a glimpse of that one who once inhabited the tomb. My father in the ministry, like I told you, was a great big man. And I remember one time he was talking about the trip he had made to the Holy Land, and the fellow who was best man at mine and Vicky's wedding was with him. And so the two of them were there, and they got to that point where when they went into the what was known as the tomb where Jesus had laid, and like I said, he was a big man. And I remember him telling that story, and they kind of squeezed in there because the fellow who was best man at our wedding, he's no little fella himself. So he's... My father in the ministry squeezing in. The fellow next to him squeezes his in. And there's another fellow that's about that big around. Little bitty scrawny. You'd think it was Vance Havner the way I was talking about him a minute ago. But it wasn't. It was another preacher, and he squeezed in there too. And my father in the ministry said that just the thought of what they were viewing at that point was overwhelming to them. Those three men had squeezed into that little space, and they were there, and they were just in holy awe. And didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, in this high, nasally voice, that little preacher said, May we pray? And so they didn't know what to do. So they both bowed their head and prayed. And the fellow said this, Dear Father, we thank you today that you're here in spirit and not in body. Amen. Well, that pretty much said it right there. Jesus is no longer in that grave. He is no longer on the cross, and Mary needed a glimpse of him, the one who once inhabited the tomb. So she says, They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So she looked up, and when she looked up, this verse says, and glimpsed the gardener. Now, she didn't see him for who he really was, and that's the next point. To be saved, you really must see Jesus for who he really is. And that's what we need to do today, to see Jesus for who he really is. So the third thing, Jesus said Mary. And what I'm saying is Jesus called her name. Jesus called her name. Let me just ask you something. We can be honest for a minute here. Y'all ever had that time in your life when Jesus called your name? Ooh, it's quiet in here. Jesus called my name years ago. See, I was leading music at a church in Butler, Alabama. I thought I had everything down pat. I was doing what I was supposed to do. And yet I never had that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was leading the music for a revival at the church I was serving at in Butler. And a fellow by the name of Charles Shipman got up and he gave his testimony. He was from over here at Myrtle. And Charles Shipman got up and he talked about how he had been in full-time evangelism. I want to say he said 25 years. 25 years, and God revealed to him that he had never truly been saved. And so Charles Shipman canceled all his meetings, and he basically holed up at his house. And he finally said yes to Jesus and was saved. And he gave that testimony that night, and I drove from Butler, Alabama, back to Mobile, Alabama. And that's all I thought about. God, why in the world did you have him say that tonight? God, were you talking to somebody else? God, why in the world can't I get this thing straight? And it took me all through the night, and the next morning I went up to my home church, and I got in this little front room where I used to have my 12th grade Sunday school class. And I got the associate pastor's Bible, and I knelt down there, and I read those scripture verses, and I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I want to tell you, Since that day, things have been different. I have been changed. I know that Jesus called my name unto salvation, and it's been a wonderful thing. I am thankful that he did that. And I want to say this too. It's not just that Jesus called my name. That's great if it is. But the best part of it is I answered. I think people forget stuff like that sometimes. It's one thing when Jesus provides for you and calls for you, but if you don't say yes to him, it don't do you any good. But there was that day when I said yes to him, and that's the last point. Mary answered him. Unless you answer him to the affirmative, I'm here to tell you, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Years ago, when I first started going on the mission trips to Honduras, I was always thankful. I serve on the dental team. And so everybody makes a joke about Bill carrying his pliers in his back pocket, you know, because I can go up there and I can pull yank teeth with the best of them. Well, I not only served on the dental team, but usually I would go over and preach in the evangelism tent at the 7 o'clock service. And so I would go over there. In that, the Lord laid on my heart one day an example that really ministered to me. And so what I did is I'd run by the pharmacy that morning and I'd get a little pack of ibuprofen. And so I'd get that ibuprofen and I'd bring it with me and I'd get my bottle of water. We're always told you got to take that water with you. Brother Tommy always says, you got to drink because you don't want to get dehydrated. So I had my bottle of water, had my ibuprofen. And so I got up there and I was preaching and I finally got to the point and I said, I just want to tell y'all something. After we had presented the plan of salvation, I said, here's the deal. I'm just not used to your climate here. I mean, it's just working on my sinuses, and I have got the worst headache in all the world. But I want to tell y'all, I got it all took care of now. I got it all covered, and then I held up that pack of ibuprofen, and I said, I've got the answer right here. I got the answer here. I know that having this stuff is going to fix it for me, and I'm in good shape. And I waited, and I waited. Said maybe a couple of things, and finally somebody, whether it's an interpreter or somebody, said, well, it's not doing you any good, Bill. And I said, how come? And they would say, you gotta take a couple of them. Really? And so I would usually open that little pouch. I'd grab a couple of those ibuprofen. I'd open that bottle of water. I'd pop a couple in my mouth, and I'd drink a swig of water, and I'd say, and help is on the way. And they'd look at me like, what are you doing? You're so crazy. Well, it's the idea of it. We can know about Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. We can know what he's done for us. We can know it here. We can know it here. We can know it wherever you want to say we know it. But if you never accept it, if you never say yes, if you never receive him, you're not saved. All the knowledge in the world won't do you any good one day. What really counts is that you say yes to Jesus Christ. Well, a while ago I read to you several things about what some lost folks said on their deathbed. But I want to make sure that we get both sides of this. Steve Smith, that used to be here as an administrator, he was, if you knew him very well, he was known to say that a pancake may be thin, but there's always two sides to it. And he was right. So I want to give you the other side now, not just the lost folk, but the saved side as well. Luther said, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. I like that. Knox said, live in Christ. Live in Christ and the flesh need not fear death. John Wesley, a great man of God, said, oh, the best of all, God is with us. I'm grateful for that today. Baxter said, I have pain. Oh, there's no argument against sense, but I have peace. I have peace. John Janeway said, more praise still. Oh, help me to praise him. I have nothing else to do. Payson said, the battle's fought. The battle's fought and the victory is won. The victory is won forever. I am going to bathe in an ocean of purity and benevolence and happiness for all of eternity. Faith and patience, hold out. Abbott said, glory to God. I see heaven sweetly open before me. And Josiah Effort said, glory, glory, glory. And he kept saying just that word over and over and over again for 25 full minutes. And the only thing that stopped him was when life itself ceased. And that's how he ended his life. Glory, glory, glory. J. Fletcher said, Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy free, boundless mercy cries. What about you this morning? In closing, I would say that I heard a story one time about some prisoners who were brought before a captain, and the captain was trying to be as generous and beneficent as he could. And so they were told by the captain that they must choose, and there were two doors in front of, I'm sorry, just one door. There was one door, and there was a firing squad. And he said, you have to choose between the two. Obviously, if you choose the firing squad, it's death, no questions asked. He said, but there is another door, a place, and there's a door over here, and it was a black door. And he said, you can choose the black door, but you're going to have to suffer with the consequences of what lies on the other side of this door. So after he presented that, he gave him a few minutes to talk about it. Each one of the prisoners that were there that day chose the firing squad. And as they counseled together, it was overheard that they said they would rather face death for certain than to face the unknown terrors of what lie on the other side of that black door. So one by one, each one of them were brought forward. They were placed in front of the firing squad, and they were executed. Later on that day, the captain was kind of standing over to himself and kind of somber, didn't really know what to do, and so somebody came up to him and said, what's wrong, Captain? Are you okay? Is something I can help you with? And he said, I don't know. I was just frustrated because out of all those folk, no one chose the door. Every one of them chose death by the firing squad. And so, not knowing, the fellow said, well, what's on the other side of the door? And the captain looked at him, and he said, freedom. That's it. If they would have chosen that door, we would have let them walk free. And yet they chose death. I don't know where you are this morning as far as what you're facing. Maybe you're here and you need to be reminded that you still haven't made that choice. Nobody else is going to make it for you. It's yours. You have wrestled with it for years, but you've not yet said yes to Jesus. May I just simply remind you that God wants you to choose freedom. He wants you to choose freedom. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need a general reminder. I remember one time, church that I served at, the church that me and Vicki got married at, I was preaching a message on the blood of Jesus Christ. When the invitation time came, there was one man that, he was such a wise man. He was completely bald-headed. He had some thyroid issues, but he was probably the wisest man I've ever met. And so when the invitation was given, he walked down that aisle right over here. And we had prayer altars on each side, and they're stationary. And he went down, and he knelt at one of those prayer altars and started praying. One of the deacons came up and asked if he could help him, and he just waved him off, and he kept praying. One of the staff members came up, asked if they could help him. He waved him off. He kept praying. And after the invitation was over, he finally got up, and he kind of lingered around the front. And I kind of hung around just because I didn't know what was going on. And he walked up to me after it was over with, and he looked at me with tears streaming down his cheeks. And he said, Brother Bill, I just want to thank you for reminding me of the cost. So may I remind you this morning that what Jesus did for you and for me was a tremendous cost. It was a tremendous cost. Maybe you're here today and you just need to be reminded that you're loved, that there was a tremendous cost that was paid for your sins. I don't know what God wants to do with you today, but what I do know is God's working, and God wants to be your Lord and Savior. He wants you to draw closer to him, and he wants you to say yes to him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time we have together. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, for for how it speaks to us. I pray, Father, that as we go into this time of invitation, that you would be glorified in all that's done. I pray, Father, that you'll touch hearts and do what only you can. And for that, we will praise you. We love you, and we lift our prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you please stand? Maybe you're here today and you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you just need to grip that pew in front of you and pray and get things right with him. We'll be down here at the front. And the bottom line is, we just want you to do today what God leads you to do. So as we sing, you do what God has you to do. Let's sing.